Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our morning service for Trinity Sunday from St. Timothy's Church here in Crooks on a rather damp Sunday morning. Welcome, all of you. It's lovely to have you with us. The prayer for today, is Trinity Sunday, when we remember God's revealing himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth and draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. We come now to our Bible readings for today. The first reading is from Isaiah and will be read for us by Martin Hill, and then a reading from Matthew that will be read for us by Aidan Melville.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, and we're reading verses 12 to 17 and then from 27 to 31. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counsellor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They're regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. Verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This reading is taken from the final verses of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Martin and Aidan, for reading for us. This morning, the talk's going to be given by Will Briggs, the minister at The Vine. As you know, we're looking to form a more close link with the parish of The Vine between them and St. Timothy's. We thought it'd be good to give Will an opportunity to talk at one of our morning services here at St. Timothy's. So I'll hand over now to Will, who's going to talk to us today on Trinity Sunday about the Great Commission.
Well, good morning and hello, and let me bring greetings to you from The Vine and all of us here who are seeking to worship God and to be God's people in this strange season. Even though this is a strange season, we still get to be God's people. We still get to gather around God's word. We still get to come under its light and its life. So as we gather around God's word this morning, let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. It is light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. Well, as we reflect on God's word, which we're going to look at Matthew 28, the Great Commission today, one of the things we reflect on, and we do it a lot at this time, is to reflect on those disruptions that come to our lives from time to time. I don't know about you, many of us have experienced those things where life takes a turn that we're not expecting. I've walked alongside people who have suddenly come into a loss of job, or people who have come to a time of retirement or empty nesting. There's a disruption that takes place. And there can be trauma and pain in that. But one of the ways in which there's God's grace and blessing is that he uses these times to help us to reappraise and rediscover something of what life is about. And we find ourselves asking questions of identity and of vocation and calling. Lord, what is this life for? What do you want me to pursue? Everything else is shaking, Lord, so what do we fall back to? What is our core? What is our rock? What is the foundation upon which we land that shapes who our sense of who we are and shapes our sense of what life is for and what we should pursue? It's an ordinary experience when life brings these disruptions. And it's just the case now, especially when we think about what it means to be church. We cannot meet as church as we normally do. The things that we've built up to make church and make our spiritual life have a semblance of rhythm and normalcy, a lot of those things have been taken away, and we can't do that. We can't meet. We can't do the things we used to. So what do we fall back to in our sense of being God's people? What's that foundation to which we come? These are the sorts of questions that our reading today in Matthew's Gospel helps us to engage with. We come to what is rightly and wonderfully called the Great Commission. And here is our sense of point and purpose for us. Here is something to fall back on and to rediscover as we look forward. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're just going to go quickly through it and to see what wisdom God has for us in it. As we come to it, we understand that the setting is Galilee. It's on a mountain, it's after the resurrection, it's just before Jesus' ascension. And Jesus has sent his disciples to the mountain to which he has sent them, and we discover that they are there. And it says here in the reading that in that place and on that mountain, they worshipped him. And I think this is the beginning of our understanding of what we find in the Great Commission as we fall back to that sense of how God is calling us. First and foremost, they find themselves in the place where God has called them, worshipping him. Worship is the foundation of our foundations, if you like. Worship is the deepest of those things that we fall back to. Today is Trinity Sunday. Now, I don't want to get into the theology of it too much, but as we look upon the Trinity, as we look upon God's nature and character, we are moved to worship him. When we see Jesus, we see, as it says in Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily. No wonder his disciples learned not just to follow him and admire him, but to worship him. We gaze upon Jesus and we gaze upon our understanding of him. We encounter the Holy Spirit. We are drawn to God the Father. And the best response in there is to say, here is the one who made me. Here is the one in whom I can fall and find myself. Here is the one in which all of belonging and all of being comes to find its true foundation. Our response at that point is to adore and to praise and to worship and to lay ourselves before him and say, we are yours. That is worship. It's the beginning of who we are as God's people. That's the foundation, as Jesus then goes on to teach them. He teaches them and declares to them in their worship and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this is a messianic claim. Jesus is fulfilling the promises that God has made to Abraham and to Moses and to David. And he has the fulfillment of those promises in himself. And that means there is an authority to bring the kingdom of God, an authority to bring life. The kingdom of God is one of these key cliche formulaic Christian phrases, but we understand what it means in the real world. because we see it in the ministry of Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, he brought the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come near to you, he says. And what that meant was that people were healed, people were restored, people found life, people were released from oppression and from captivity. He brought truth, he brought the way. The kingdom of God means life. And so look around us today, if we look at this broken world at the moment, that's not only plagued by plagues, but especially in these last recent weeks, we've seen how this world is plagued by divisions and plagued by institutional racism and everything that we've seen that has broken our hearts. We understand that we are moved in this moment to seek the kingdom of God, to behold the one on whom authority rests. To behold King Jesus is at the foundation of who we are. Therefore, Jesus says, therefore, since he has this authority, he says, go and make disciples. It's a commission, and the mode of the commission is to go. By going, make the disciples. Much has been made of this sense of going, but for us, I think, as we reappraise our sense of what it means to be God's people, what we need to really understand here is that it involves needing to move outside our comfort zone. We can't follow God's commission and stay where we are. We can't follow God's commission and expect people to come to us. We have to move towards the task. We have to seek God's way. We need to go in this following of this commission. And the task, of course, is to make disciples. Disciples are students. Disciples are apprentices. We are all disciples of Jesus. We seek to follow him. And not just to heed his words and to write them down like a teacher in a classroom, but more like an apprentice, to consider his way and his mode of life, to emulate and attempt to copy him in our own lives. We are all disciples of Jesus. And part of this commission is to seek to bring other people into that place, to seek to encourage others to come and follow the way of our Master Jesus. But note, it's not just about making disciples of people. The commission is this: make disciples of all nations, of all peoples, of all tribes, of all ethnicities, of all communities. So how do we get a handle on that sense of who are the nations, who are the peoples to which God has called us? Here's a question that I've often asked. It's this. Sometimes we can think about it in terms of who are my people? Who are the people to whom I belong? The people I belong because I have a history with them, or the people I belong because I have a heart for them? And we could think about that in various ways. We could think of geography, the people that we live amongst. We could think of it in terms of occupation, the people that I work with and spend time with, of demographics, the people that who I identify with, or a subculture, or the people who have a heart like mine. They are the tribes and the nations. And Jesus is calling us to reach to them and to bring to them his way of life so that they may know him and learn from him. But how do you make a community an apprentice of Jesus? How do you disciple a whole place or a whole group of people? Well, Jesus tells us by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we understand how this works when it comes to introducing people into the body of Christ, and so baptizing them with water in the name of God. But it means a bit more than that. If we are to baptize whole communities, what does that mean? Well, the name, that triune name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the very nature and character of God. And the word to baptize doesn't just mean to sprinkle or pour with water. It means to immerse. So we can reconfigure this commission. Go and make disciples of your community by immersing it in the name and character of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that means for us that the task becomes one of representing him in the world, without forgetting, of course, that there is substance to this. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus isn't some idea. He has things to say. He has spoken. He is the full revelation of God. And so as we know and learn from him and study this word and learn from his life, so we take that and we speak that to the world around us as well. And finally this, and in many ways, this is the place where it all comes together. Jesus says to them, surely I am with you to the very end of the age. There is an intimacy in following God. There is a closeness. There is a restoration and a joy that goes deep. And that comes not from understanding Jesus as an idea, but understanding Jesus as a friend and as a saviour and as a king that we can follow right now. We reveal that to the world around us and invite people into that same journey. Soon after he says these words, Jesus ascends to his Father in heaven and sends us the Spirit to be his presence with us. And so throughout the ages, he has been present with his people, especially and even as we have faced our disruptions. When we have needed reformation, he has led us through that time. When we have needed to be shaken from our comfort, he has led us through adversities and difficulties, not just in this country, but around the world. And now we are in this place where we face this disruption, and it will be for some of us a time of encouragement, as some of us a time of being disturbed. But in all of it, he is with us to lead us, to infuse us and to pull us back to that core sense of who we are. We are to be his, going into the nations, immersing our communities in his way and his name and his character, and teaching them about Jesus and all that he has done. As we face this disruption, our prayers are with you at St. Timothy's, that you may know more deeply this vocation and call. And it's for all the churches as we pursue it together as well. May the Lord be with us and bless us. Amen.
Thank you so much, Will, for that word. Really grateful to you for bringing it to us this morning. We all need to be immersed in the knowledge and love of God. We all need to make a response to who God has shown himself to be, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have an opportunity now to make that response, to declare our faith, to declare that our lives are his. The words of our statement of faith. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to praise again, we're going to worship again, the foundation of all that we do. The song says, however great the darkness may be in the world, the power of God to transform is always greater.
Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus.
We come now to our prayers, which are going to be led for us today by Anna Chapman.
Dear Lord, in a world that is so full of uncertainty, injustice and fear, we thank you that we have you to trust in, and we thank you that we have you to love and comfort us. We pray that you can help us all in this time. We pray for the world, for the global uncertainty that is brought by COVID-19. We thank you that the rate of infection is slowing down in the UK. But Lord, please guide our world leaders and our health professionals to make wise decisions. Decisions that are ultimately best for the safety of your children, God, and help us to trust in them. Be with us in our struggles that come from this pandemic, like losing our jobs or being furloughed, not being able to see vulnerable loved ones, and our own health anxieties. We pray that this experience will not divide us and make us blame each other, but unite us and make us more compassionate and loving towards each other. Lord, we pray that COVID-19 doesn't mask other crucial things happening in our broken world right now. We pray for the injustices happening all over the globe. Amongst all that has happened in the past week, Lord, we particularly pray for huge change and improvement in the way black people and ethnic minorities are treated. We are sorry that our brothers and sisters in Christ are discriminated against and even killed because of our own prejudices and anger. We pray for the families and communities of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and all the other innocent people who were lost to hate and discrimination. Please give their families love, comfort, and resilience in these times. We pray that you will give people the courage and also the compassion to do what is right, to not be ignorant or be a bystander, but to actively fight for the rights of all kinds of minority groups. Help us remember, we are all equal in your eyes, Lord. We pray you give the whole world direction and by your grace, create love and equality. We pray for the church. We thank you for how our ministries have adapted to our lockdown rules, and we thank you for the technology that makes it possible. We pray that you guide us to take these ministries in the right directions in our prayers, and that we can fulfill the purpose that you have for them. We pray that you will fill us with love and compassion so we can support everyone in our St. Timothy's community. We also pray for those struggling in body, mind, or in spirit, and that you are there to carry them in their time of need. Help them trust in your plan for them. Thank you for always loving us, God, even when we don't deserve it. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much, Anna. Come now to our notices. First of all, I need to tell you, anybody who hasn't heard the news yet, we made the very difficult decision earlier this week to furlough our paid staff. That is Siobhan and Alex and Becky and Kate. The government announced at very short notice that they were closing the furlough scheme to new entrants. And this was our last opportunity to take advantage of it if we were going to. The church's finances are struggling a bit. Since March, we haven't had any income from hall lettings. The hall's not been able to be let out since March 16th. And as well as that, of course, because we're not in the church building, we don't have any cash collections. And those two things together normally bring in about £2,000 a month. So March, April, May into June, you can see that that's a lot of money to lose and not have any obvious way of recovering. So in order to make sure that we don't end up in a situation where we have to make sort of really hard decisions, like, for example, stopping employing somebody, we decided it was better to take advantage of the furlough scheme while we could. So Siobhan, Alex, Becky and Kate are all furloughed and can't do their normal work for the whole of June. We will keep you informed of what's happening. Secondly, the government announced yesterday that from June the 15th, that's a week tomorrow, places of worship would be open for private prayer. We're really pleased about that, but we don't quite yet know how that's going to work at St. Timothy's. We've got a meeting on Tuesday where we'll talk about it. But do expect that St. Tim's will be open for private prayer, for individual prayer, possibly a couple of times a day from a week on Monday. And so our closing prayers. The Lord be with you. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe. To you be glory and praise forever. We pray together. God of all power and love, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your spirit help us to serve and worship you now and evermore. Amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Going to sing our closing song, Forth in Your Name, O Lord, I Go.
Oh, no.
Thank you to everybody who's contributed to this service, to our worship team, to those who read, to Anna for the prayers, for Will for his word. And thank you to all of us for joining us. Live in peace and love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.